Welcome to the Philadelphia branch of Lighthouse Chapel International, under the leadership of the Presiding Bishop Dag Hayward Mill. This denomination has grown with several branches all over the world. We are delighted to come your way with the anointed Word of God, which is able to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned with your heart to receive God's Word through His servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Amen. So it is your spirit that gets born again. These are very fundamental principles. In fact, there's a great book, Seven Great Principles, that anyone in this church should have read. If you haven't read it, get it and read it, because it gives you this basic understanding. That is why the Bible says, if you are in Christ, everything is new. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New because it's your spirit. Because the day you got born again, you didn't become shorter. The day you got born again, you didn't become taller. That's if your bones have finished growing. Your color did not change. Your hair perhaps did not change. But yet the Bible says that you are new. So what is new? It is your spirit. It is your spirit that is new. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. It's your spirit that becomes new. So, you have two other parts to deal with, isn't it? Because from 1 Thessalonians 5, we realize that there are three parts to a man. Man is a spirit. He has what? He has a soul. And he lives in a body. Yeah. That is why it is not an unusual thing to see somebody who got born again yesterday or last night or a week ago to still look sort of fleshy. Because even though your spirit is new, you need to begin the process. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The process of getting your physical body saved, and your soul also saved. It's a process. So you realize that when you meet a very spiritual person, what you see about the person is the spiritual aspect. When you meet Bishop Doug, you don't have to be with him for 5 minutes. You will know that this is a very spiritual person. Because that is a part of him out of the three that dominates. Because he's brought his soul under control. Say, and he's constantly working on his flesh. Lady Pastor made Bishop play in the house the whole day. In fact, since yesterday afternoon, he played till this morning on the TV. So when you can walk into the house, the only voice you hear is Bishop preaching. So in between, when you sleep, you hear. When you walk in, you hear. That's the way it is, an atmosphere. You see. And I heard him say, as I was walking, he said, as for your flesh, no matter what you do, you will deal with it till you die. It's a constant battle. You have to press it and bring it under control. Under control. Your flesh. If you leave it, it will disgrace you. How many of you have been disgraced by your flesh before? Oh, easily. So you have to make your spirit strong and robust. Now, there's a certain instruction that God gave about our soul. Now, your soul has to do with your emotions. Your soul has to do with your mindset. Your thinking pattern. That is your soul. And God clearly gave us a certain direction about our souls. In James chapter 1, let's turn our Bible to James chapter 1. Verse 21, I believe. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Yes. James chapter 1, verse 21. God gave us a certain direction about our souls. After you get born again. And what did he say? He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I like the English. Superfluity of naughtiness. So you lay that aside. Not that angel Gabriel will lay it aside for you. You lay it aside. Listen, this Christian work that we are working, there's nothing that is going to happen casually or without any effort. Everything we have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So he says, lay it aside. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, the excess naughtiness. Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you have some naughtiness in you? It is time to lay it aside. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, don't let it cross 2018-17. Say, you are not going into 2017 with this superfluity of naughtiness. Come on, give the Lord a shout of victory. Yeah. So, laying it aside, all right, what do? It says you receive what? The engrafted word. You lay aside and you received. Meaning you open up your heart intentionally, an open heart, and say, let this word come. I'm ready to receive. I want to receive it. I'm receiving it. Lord, let it come. So you receive the engrafted word, and the Bible says here, which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word, as it is preached, and as it is taught, as you read it, as you study the process of doing that, the Bible says that it is able to save your soul and bring it to the level that God wants it to be. It's a process. So you see, until you have imbibed the engrafted word, until you have received the word of God to some level, your soul will not be saved. You will struggle. And many things that you would hear will not make sense until you have received it. Yeah. Listen, let's put away religion. Know things for yourself. When things are preached, look at the Bible. Study it. Let us be like the Christians in Berea and look at the Bible and study it and receive it. If it's true and it's there, then receive it. And that is what is able to save your soul. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Let me show you something again. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Put the two together, please. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Are we here? I told you this is going to be a long introduction, but you understand why it's a long introduction. So, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Your bodies will not present itself. If you are waiting for your body to present, say, Lord, I've come. No. You present yourself. You present your body. You present your body as what? As a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Lift up your hand and say, it's my reasonable service. Yeah. It's not an exceptional. It's the reasonable thing. Yeah. When you go to work and they give you work to do, it's your reasonable service. Because you've been hired, you've been hired, you have a contract that you are supposed to do that. Eh? Brother Emma, I mean, when you go to work and after you finish dispensing all the medication and checking side effects and talking to patients, and you say that you are even lucky that I'm here. Yeah, it's your expected. It's your reasonable service. So presenting ourselves as living sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, it's your reasonable service to present yourself holy. It's your reasonable service to present yourself clean, righteous. It's your reasonable service. It's not. It shouldn't be an exception, exceptional thing. Are you here? I read all that, so we get to verse 2. Then he says, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the world shape you. Don't assume the shape of the world. But instead, be transformed. And how do you get transformed? You get transformed by the renewing of your mind, part of your soul. The engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Wow. So instead of being conformed, instead of being, you know, your thinking pattern is like the way the world thinks. Everything you do is the way the world does it, instead of the way that God does it. It cannot change until your mind has been transformed. Until your mind has been transformed. Look at the latter part of this verse. This is in verse 2. You see that it is even after your mind is transformed that you begin to even appreciate what God is saying. Yeah. It's like children. Recently, I was driving with my oldest boy, my son, my oldest son. And then he said something to me. He said, Daddy, I now understand some of the things that you were saying. I'm not getting it. It's making more sense. I get it. You see, because his mind has grown a little more. His mind has gotten to a level now that he can get hold. You see, your mind has to be at a certain level, and it's not going to come to you just by sitting and enjoying and without doing anything. You have to get to the word. You have to get to the word. You have to get to the word. You have to open up your heart and receive the word. It will change your mindset and to transform your mind, and it will get you to the place of now beginning to know that which is acceptable will of God. See, I'm saying all this because I'm going to preach on tithes. And make sure you come to church. Don't run away. You see, your mind about tithes needs to change. Yeah, the introduction was very long, isn't it? Very long introduction. I had to set you up. You haven't understood it. Not that you haven't heard any word, but you haven't understood what tithes is all about. Yeah. You can't see the acceptable will of God. That when I earn some money, 10% belongs to God. Yeah. In the church, it's only like 20-25%. Is that right? Yeah. It's only like 1 in 5 people who pay tithes. And even those who do it consistently. Let Pastor open the chapter on the thoughts of people who don't pay tithes. We're about to change it today. Yes. And don't bail out on me. You get what I'm saying? Yes, don't bail out on me. Sit in this service for the next 4 weeks and listen to what God is saying. You see, your mindset about paying tithes, the way you think about tithes, the reason why you are not paying it is because you haven't gotten hold of the way God thinks about tithes. Yes. You see, you can't sit behind a wheel car of a car and drive until you have gotten the way cars have to be driven. So until you do that, you can't drive. You see, you can't sit behind the wheels of tithe paying until your mind has been changed with the engrafted word and your mind has been transformed. You see, because the world doesn't pay tithe. There are very few people in the world who pay tithe. And those are the ones that have suddenly gotten hold of something. Yeah, Bill Gates, one of the richest people in the world, he pays tithe. In fact, I was just told by our IT director, he was sharing something with us, and he said this. He said, Bill Gates has a billionaire's club or something, a group of billionaires that he's working together. And you know their vow? They have made a vow to give out all the money they have before they die. Yes. And he says his children or child, I don't know whether it's one or two, his child is supposed to get only 1 billion. One. Single, yeah. Every bit, he said, that group, they said every bit of their money has to go out for the die. Yeah. This is somebody who is involved in heavy charity. Yeah. Bill Gates is one of the most giving people. How many of you know that? Yeah. He gives. You see, you are trying to get to a point and you don't want to give. So what are the bad thoughts of non-fighters? Bad thoughts. There's a language in my country which says, I dream bunny. No, okay, did I say it well? Yes. Bad way of thinking. Yes. We're going to spray all of it out in Jesus' name. Ask your neighbor that the bad thoughts in your mind about tithes that does not make you pay tithes is about to be sprayed out. So number one, what do people think? What are the thoughts that needs to be transformed, that needs to be overcome by the engrafted word? Number one, I earn too little to pay tithes. Yes. It is not about how much you earn. It is about giving a certain fraction to church. Yesterday when I was passing by again, it's good to play messages in your home. Yeah, instead of having CNN, listen, You just have to listen to news 30 minutes. I catch up with... It's good to listen to news. It's not a bad thing. I listen to Al Jazeera 30 minutes. In fact, these days, I'm even trying to put them off because they talk too much about Trump. Yes. All you need is 30 minutes. The rest of it becomes superfluity of naughtiness. Yeah, they keep repeating, isn't it? Yeah. Why did I talk about the news? I don't even know. Yeah, I'm saying that. It's good to listen to message. And I was passing by, and Bishop is preaching in the Philippines. And he said this, as he was preaching to the Filipinos, a lot of people, I was supposed to go for the meeting, but I couldn't make it. And he said this, that we should be careful, that the church should be careful of people who don't come to church, who say we watch you on TV, or we have our church on TV, church TV. Oh, yeah, there are people like that. Even sometimes when we start doing live broadcasts like we're doing now, see, some people will just, oh, let's watch Reverend. It's not the same. So he made this comment. He said, when it's time to be married, get the TV to marry you. Yes. When you have marital issues that you want the pastor to consult the TV. When you die, you want to be buried. Let the TV bury you. Yeah. People don't know that even church, you are built. Listen. And that, especially here in America, a time will come, you're like, this is all you have. Oh. This is all you have. That is why we must all be ready to have more. Church is your family. Church is your family. And the rate and the proportion with which you engage is the same proportion you get back. Yeah. You might, can you not see? You see that sometimes when we have activities that pertain to people, you see that it's so hard. It's like you're fighting. But when it comes to certain people, say, that's so easy. Oh, man. Without effort, people just give. Without effort, people... When... let me use Esther. Esther, Nyamiche. Now, Esther, what I see you do? Edo. Esther, Edo. Is her husband here? He's going to kill me. Where is he, ma? They went to your father's church. Yeah, okay. When she was having her baby shower, was it baby or bridal shower? Baby shower. Oh. The things were too much. Without effort. And people actually, oh, it's Esther. Oh, let me do it. Let me do it. But when it comes to some, we have to beg. Please, I beg you. Please, I beg you. Give. It is because of her involvement and engagement in what she's doing. Yeah. So as you are doing, you are building yourself an ark. You are building yourself a Noah's ark for when the rain comes down. Yeah. It's enough. So one of the bad thoughts is that I earn too little. Yeah. It's almost like the parable of the talent. The guy who received one said, this one is just one. It's not like the five or the two. Let me hide it. After all, the master is wicked. He reaps where he hasn't sown. Let me hide it. But that mindset is changing in Jesus' name. Number two, the opposite. I earn too much. Hey. I earn too much. Never think that way. It's a very bad way of thinking. I earn too much. I mean, if you put together what I earn, if I'm going to pay 10%, ooh. Yeah. This is, I talk in a certain way. I never used to talk that way, but I say, you'll be surprised how when, you know, a certain news comes to you, you even like to sell everything you have. Yeah. It only takes to see a rich person dying. You understand what I'm saying? At a point in your life, after setting crossroads, you will see that money is nothing. You will like to accept, take all. I just want life. Take all. Yes. You need a word. Because even if you understand how you make money, that it is He, God, who gives you the power to make money. And it is He who gives you the strength to even enjoy the money that you make. Two things. Yeah. Yeah. Find an oncology clinic and walk into the outpatients with patients sitting and talk to them. You may find one or two that are very rich. Bishop once told of a story of a man that somebody else was talking about. This man had a big, very luxurious boat. You know, beautiful boat.
And those boats, they cost more than houses. There are boats that are $2 million, $3 million. Yeah, dollars. And this rich man, all he does, they notice that, all he does is he just goes into the boat. And sometimes you just sit in the boat for hours. Then you go home. Then you come back. Sometimes you even not go home. And then somebody was wondering, why is this guy? You know what they said? The answer was, apparently he had a terminal illness. He's dying. So he wants to spend all the time that he can grab on the boat. No matter what you do, at the point you have to say bye-bye. I mean, how much of it can be in your coffin? How much? Magaria, how much of it can be in your coffin? Yeah. So you see, again, it's because of your thinking. But if you read the word of God yourself and get to the place of understanding, and you know it is God. It is He who gives you even the power to make wealth. And it is He who gives you the power to even enjoy it. Yeah. There's a part of your brain. Small part. Something small touches it. You see, you can't even tell the difference between salt and sugar. Yeah. Little part of your brain. Recently, I saw a short clip on Billy Graham, and I was blessed. In fact, I was looking at other things, and I saw it, and I said, let me watch it. And it was about a preacher who had actually run, forced to get close and take a documentary, a short documentary. Recently, you can Google it, documentary on Billy Graham. This guy actually got saved in one of Billy Graham's crusades. So he finally, I don't know how he did it, but he finally got to Billy Graham. This guy lives in a farmhouse, cottage, at this age. All right? He's very old. It's not that he's sick. I mean, he's old at the point your body wears down. So he's in bed all the time. But he talks. His voice is still strong. Yeah. And Billy Graham was just lying in bed at that age. Farmhouse. This is somebody who can live in the richest part of LA if he wants to. Yeah. And as he was there, Billy Graham spoke to him. Billy Graham said, come close, and he prayed for him. Simple prayer. Yeah. This is somebody who has understanding. This is somebody who has understanding. Listen, you don't make too much to pay tithes, and you don't make too little to pay tithes. The instruction is pay tithes. Pay. I pay my tithes. I do. And you can also pay tithes. And it is one of the most important things that you need to do to really make it successfully. Amen. Let me give you one last one and then we end. Next week I'll give you more. Don't miss church because I'm preaching on tithe. Lift up your hand and say, I will come to church and hear this full preaching on tithe. Wow. So help me, God. Number three, I am not a fool. I will never pay tithes. I am not a fool. Minye kwasia. J Bulu Jimmy. Piero, how do you say that in French? Je ne suis pas foulé. Je ne suis pas fou. Turn to your neighbor and say, je ne suis pas fou. How do you say? Monkey they work, a baboon they chop. Your responsibility is just to pay. And what is used for, it shouldn't be your responsibility. And your tithe should go to where you eat from. That is, it says, so that there may be bread in my storehouse. Yeah, not somebody's storehouse. Your storehouse is your storehouse. Your storehouse is not T.D. Jakes' storehouse. Your storehouse is not Joel Austin's storehouse. Your storehouse is QFC's storehouse. Lift up the right hand and say, my storehouse is QFC's storehouse. Yes. So tithe should be paid here. Yes. Shake your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm very happy to hear this message. And it's changing my mindset. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a shout of glory. Je ne suis pas fou. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Bow down your heads as we end in prayer. This morning, I want you to pray for your heart. Put your hand on your heart and pray and say, God, help me. Help me. Help me to get hold of this and be a tithe payer. Say, Lord, help me to be a connector to your covenant of blessings by paying tithes. Help me. Put your hand on your head now and say, Lord, change my mindset. Say, change my mindset. Say, let the engrafted word save me. Change my mindset in Jesus' name. Father, we are grateful and we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. Anybody here, lift up that hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Anybody here like that? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Paying your tithes, come up quickly.